My name is Dave, and I'm the pastor here, and I am so glad that you've decided to be here. And like Jim was saying, if you are a guest, we have a gift for you at the Welcome Center, and would love just to give it to you. No strings attached. It's just saying thanks for being with us. And if you would fill out a Connect card, we just want to get to know you. And if you're looking for a church home, welcome home. There's no better place to be than here, in my opinion. So, but today I get the amazing privilege. It's kind of a bittersweet privilege because next weekend is graduation. And for those that don't know, I spent 20 years in youth ministry, and coming here the first 4 years here, I was youth pastor. So first for me is I've never had just a class of ladies graduating from our youth group and from our church. We've got three beautiful young ladies that are graduating next weekend, and I'm excited for you, but I'm sad at the same time. It's like Tabby and Brianna, I met you guys first in track, I think. I didn't get to coach you track because I am not a runner, and I'm definitely not a pole vaulter. And so, but Tabby, the first time I met you, I think was junior high track, and Brianna, you were a freshman when I first met you, but you started coming to youth group, and Allie, I've never coached you, but you make a mean latte at the coffee shop, and I'm excited for that. But so today is all about honoring our graduate seniors that will be here next. They're graduating next week, right? You guys all passed. You're good. Okay. And so we got a couple pictures. Let's put up the first picture so everybody knows. This is Tabitha Vermullum. We call her Tabby. She is going to Northern to study nursing in the fall. Okay. The next one is Allie, and Allie Van Dyke is going to Butte. Right, and what are you going to study in Butte? Civil engineering. And then last but not least, Brianna Erickson, who is going to Eastern Washington to pole vault. And what are you studying? Probably like marketing. So, so it's exciting to go. You've had a lot of lasts this year, right? Last first day of school, moms are going to cry. Now, don't cry, Carrie. Carrie was ready to punch me and chop me in the throat because I made Allie come up here and sit. She said, I don't got that many Sundays left. It'll be okay. But a lot of lasts, right? Last day of first day of school, last divisional track meet, I don't know how many more rodeos you have last, but a lot of lasts. But you're on the cusp of a lot of firsts. And today, like I said, I get to celebrate a first because it's the first time I've ever had just girls graduating. And that's kind of weird, but exciting. And it's been fun to be just a small piece, at least of your spiritual influence at one level or another. And I'm a little sad about that. We've had a lot of fun in youth group. And we've had, when I first got here, was youth pastor in both. And so today we're going to, a message that was specifically for these three ladies, but listen, it is not just for these ladies. This is the Word of God is timeless, right? And so all of us can take pieces of this, and all of us can take this message and apply it to our lives. But don't be hurt or offended if I spend more time talking to them and less with you. Okay, I still love you, and I'm so glad you're here. But this is one of the last chances I get to speak into their lives spiritually, at least. So, if you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you got your app, actually it'll be on the screen too, I think. Today's message is called A Chip Off the Old Block. We're talking about character. Let me read chapter 5 of Romans, verse 3 and 4. I'm reading out of the NIV version. It says, We also glory, and my voice is going to crack because I've been at track, so don't make fun of me. We also glory in our sufferings and tests because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and our character eventually gives us hope. As I read that scripture a few weeks ago, the Lord put this memory in my brain, and when I was a youth pastor, I was in a mentoring group, and I had an awesome opportunity. It's where I met my spiritual mom, Jeannie Mayo. And she lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And I got to go to Atlanta, Georgia to a place that this is the story about, okay? So follow with me. I want to describe an acquaintance of mine. I was introduced to him 10 years ago. He works for the Public Parks Department at Stone Mountain outside of Atlanta, Georgia. If you don't know what Stone Mountain is the largest granite outcropping, solid granite outcropping in the United States. It's huge. And I forgot to get a picture of it. But what was his job? His job was he was stationed at a specific location in the park and largely greets the guests while holding a symbolic lantern. He smiles the whole time that he as he carries out this pretty mundane job of just greeting guest after guest. And as crazy as it is, he's still smiling when it's 90 degrees outside or pouring rain. Circumstances don't seem to impact his mood, though his job requires him to stand outside all day long. I've seen people walk past him and be highly disrespectful, but he keeps smiling. And even more unbelievable, birds fly over his head and occasionally drop their remains on him, and he keeps smiling. He keeps doing his job while keeping the welcoming smile on his face. Who is this acquaintance of mine? He is a statue in the grotto of Stone Mountain Park in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I know what you're thinking. What has this got to do with anything in life, right? Let me reread the opening scripture this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. We also glory in our sufferings and tests because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And our character eventually gives us hope. The same word used in Romans chapter 5 for character is the same word in the Greek for statue. Statue. And when you look that up, okay? In the Greek, character is translated that, but it means this, to be fixed, predictable, a statue. That's the definition of character. Why am I trying to say, this is what I'm trying to say about this. If you don't get anything out of all this, this is what it is. True Christ-like character, the kind Romans 5 just talked about, is consistent despite its surroundings and circumstances. Just like the statue I described to you, enduring the many, 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 many challenges that we have all faced and continue to face, and that you will face, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, life will bring you challenges. You've already experienced some. You got a long life ahead of you, ladies. You'll experience a lot more. And it's in those times that our character needs to be like a statue. Needs to be fixed. It needs to be predictable. It needs to be consistent despite all the things that will go around and be brought into your life. You understand? You will need to pause sometimes, probably more times than we care to admit, and remind yourself that you will face all the things that you can face internal in your life, the circumstances, the trials, the hard times are no accident. They're no accident. If you don't, this quote I'm going to share right now, I wish I would have had when I was in high school or when I was graduating, and it's this. If you don't assign meaning to your difficulties in life, the difficulties will assign their own meaning. There is a providential purpose behind our daily challenges. Providential is a weird big word, right? Providential means it's a peculiar fortunate situation or an appropriate situation that is by divine intervention. Meaning providence, it's the providence of God. He is using these circumstances to produce something in you. Does that make sense? And so it's those providential purposes that are behind our challenges that doesn't just happen out of happenstance or coincidence, right? In keeping with our statue analogy for character, let's ask a really important question. We're going to test your education. You ready? What does it take to create a statue?
Commitment.
Commitment? Anybody else want to help them out? What does it take to make a statue? Foundation, okay. What else? Tools, okay. A statue often is made when it is pounded upon, right? You can imagine Leonardo da Vinci as he's making the statue of David. He's got a hammer and he's got a chisel and he's pounding and chipping away at this statue to create out of a solid piece of rock, out of this block of stone, he begins to pound to start to create a statue, right? And every time that the sculptor hits the block of granite or whatever type of material that it is being formed into this valuable statue. It is this block appears to be losing its parts and losing pieces, and things are being chipped away and broken off of it because what the sculptor sees in this block of rock is more than just a block of rock. He sees this beautiful statue, David, Mona Lisa, I don't know, whatever, but he sees something within it, the potential in it. Does that make sense? And so it feels like it's losing parts and pieces, just like in the business of our character being developed, right? They were losing pieces. When our Heavenly Father, our sculptor, begins to shape us into the image of Christ, we feel pieces flying off of us. And sometimes almost feels like we're losing it, right? And it's like, gosh, this hurts, and this is painful, and this sucks, and all of this stuff. And it's all because of the immaturity that we have, that we don't realize that we are losing parts of us that hides the image of Christ. We're all called as Christ followers to be the image of Christ, right? And so but sometimes we feel like, gosh, I'm losing something of me. And that's the point, is he's trying to chip away all the pieces of us that hides Jesus, and the image of Jesus. We all come to earth as a mere human, like a block of stone. And if we let the Lord have his way in our lives, we should leave this earth like a beautiful statue of Jesus. So let me ask you a question, seniors. Are you more of a block or a statue? I'm gonna try something new. You guys wanna help me out? If you wanna help me out, say uh-huh. Take your phones out and put the camera on and put that QR code on there. We're gonna take a poll, all right? You can relax, nobody's gonna know your answers at all, but take the picture, it's gonna take you to a form. And the question that's on there is, are you more like a block or a statue? And there's multiple choice. You choose the percentage that you feel that represents you the best, right? You choose. Steve's like, I ain't got my phone. I ain't doing nothing technological. And it's called chip off the old block. Are you more of a block or a statue? Where's your phone, Tabby? In the car. That's a good place for it. So here, do this. You can use mine. There you go. Take the just click one of them and hit submit. The cool thing is nobody knows what you're going to answer. And there's the suggestions are I'm about 20% block, 80% statue, about 30% block, 70% statue, 60% block, 40% statue, about 80% block, 20% statue, or I'm not sure I even want to answer this. It'll be curious to see where we go. I'm going to wait just a second. I'm going to take a drink of water because my voice is shot. Did you do it? Good. Allie, did you do it? Good. Doug, did you do it? Yeah. You done?
I don't think I can do it since you were the creator.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry. Because I already did it. I'm sorry. Sweet. Oh, well, it'll be interesting to see. How many did it? Raise your hand. There's a few of you. Good, 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 good. Let's see what it is. See, I can look at the responses. All right, you ready? Wow. 37 responses. Good job. It actually worked. I am amazed. All right, so 35.1% of you put, what was that? I can't read it. Man, I'm getting old. 1, 2, 3, about 40% statue, 80% block. So 35.1% of you. 18.9% are you're about 70, 60. Yeah, that's pretty cool. No. That's pretty cool. So I'm just pumped that it worked. I can't read all this stuff, but 13 responses, 60% block, 40% statue. 7 responses of 30% block, 70% statue. 7 responses about 40% block, 60% statue. 6 responses about 80% block, 20% statue. And about 20% or 2 responses of 20% block, 80% statue. And 2 responses, I'm not sure I want to answer this. So the interesting thing is that all of us are at different places in our life, right? And here's the crazy thing about it. This side of heaven, we're all still partly block. And God is still chipping away as we allow him, chipping away the rough spots, chipping away that stuff. And so here's what I want to do. According to Christ's pattern in the scripture, how do we actually get character? I want to show this video from the Skit Guys that really does a great job illustrating this whole idea. Go ahead, Craigie.
Okay, here's God, Romans 15:9.
Everybody try that. I want you to say your name and that you are God's original masterpiece. Say it. Now say it like you mean it. Isn't that amazing to know that God doesn't make junk? You are his masterpiece. And as long as we allow God to chisel off those pieces, we will continue to be his craftsmanship, his workmanship. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Son though he was, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered." The one thing that I know about me, and I know about, and I'm learning about human beings on this planet, is we all want instant maturity, an instant character, but there is no such thing. There's no such thing. Character takes a lifetime to develop, but only a moment to lose. It's a lifetime of character building, but one bad choice can damage and destroy our character. And another thing that I've learned in my 54 years on this planet is that it is in the hard times, in the adversity, in the painful times, the suffering times, that's when character is being developed. Not when it's easy, not when everything is rainbows and unicorns, not those times. It's in the adversity, it's in the suffering, it's in the hard times. Even Jesus Christ, while he was on this planet, he suffered to the point, it was all obedience. It taught him to obey. It was all of that. And here's the thing that I know is that you either give purpose to your pain or the pain will define its own purpose and you'll not like it. God will fix a fix to fix you. And if you fix that fix that God has already fixed to fix you, he will fix another fix to fix you. Allow God to fix you. And stop trying to fix yourself. Because then he's going to have to fix that fix and then fix another fix that you try to fix. And say that five times fast. Character most often comes for us just like it did for Jesus. We learn obedience through the things that we suffer. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. He learned obedience through the poundings. And because of that, and the fact that he's God in flesh, Jesus lasted. There are a lot of great starters in the Christian life, just not a lot of great finishers. That's why you all have a checkered flag. How many of you know the story of Samson? Raise your hand. How many know the story of Samson? Would you agree that Samson was a strong man? Right? Now let me ask, how many know the story of Joseph? And the coat of many colors and was sold into slavery. I would say that you put those two together, Joseph was stronger than Samson. Joseph was stronger than Samson. You see, much like the process that happened in Joseph's life, sometimes God allows poundings in our life, setbacks to ordinary people, and it's not for just because God is mean. He allows poundings to take an ordinary person and make them extraordinary. To build character. To begin to take the pieces off of you that hide who Jesus is in you. To begin to show Jesus in you. Does that make sense? I love this quote. "The man who cannot turn his back on a crowd will never lead the orchestra." Think about it. Here's another question to chew on for all of us, but specifically you three ladies. What are some of the things that the Lord is trying to chip away in your life? In other words, what are the poundings in your life that your life is characterized by? It's almost a two-part answer, but you might say something like, he's trying to chip away my dependence on people, or I'm in a season of significant loneliness, or whatever it is, right? And this is kind of a bit off topic, but let me briefly just tell you why I think many Christian leaders eventually fall. And seniors, I want you to listen to me. Your charisma will take you lots of amazing places. And your charisma will take you further than your character will allow it to withstand. There are so many people, and it's so sad to see so many spiritual leaders and so many spiritual giants in our world that are now falling because their charisma took them someplace that their character couldn't handle. Character is so important. I wish 36 years ago, when I was graduating high school, somebody would have talked to me about character, about integrity. You've lived 18 years. You guys 18 now? 18 years of your life, and you've had some tough times, right? It's just a drop in the bucket, and you're like, oh, great, thanks, Pastor. But it's your character that's going to get through it. That's right. It's those poundings that are developing that character within you, that godly character that's going to withstand everything this world has to throw at you. But you have to allow the Lord to chip the things away that he wants to chip away, to be able to show that character. The most reoccurring problem that I see in young emerging leaders makes it think that The reoccurring problem I see young emerging leaders make is that they think that when they graduate high school that their character is complete, that they're consistent, that they're wise, and the aptitude of wisdom is I've reached it. And you think that too soon. Too soon. If you were to ask all the gray hairs in here how wise they are, they'd say that they're still trying to figure that out. Right? Wisdom comes from life experience. Wisdom comes from allowing the poundings in our life to develop the character. Right? It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime, and you're just starting. Time makes the cement in your character stronger. I want to share a few closing reflections as we wrap up. I'm going to have the worship team come back up here. But a few closing reflections on our analogy of the character statue. And that's this. And this is amazing to me. Statues last, right? Archaeologists are finding statues from before Christ was on this planet. And they're still there. They're still there, buried in time, and they're still there. Consistency doesn't always have to be a mirror of the times. Sometimes when we attempt to deface important statues, the defacement often doesn't ruin them. The defacements can actually add value to the statue as time passes. Especially if purpose and meaning are added to the scar or defacement. There's a statue in France of Christ that lost its hands during the bombings of World War II. Is that picture up there, Craig? I didn't put that picture in there? Doggone it. There's a picture of it. And now it's one of the most valuable statues in France. And he's in World War II. It was in a church or a cathedral, and it was bombed in World War II, and a beam from the ceiling came down and knocked the hands off of it. And you would think that that would devalue it, right? You break something, it's not as valuable. But it is the most valuable statue in France. And underneath the statue, they put a plaque that reads, "Christ has no hands but yours." What does Scripture tell us? Scripture tells us that we are the hands and feet of Christ, right? We're the hands and feet. The most valuable statue. It got more valuable because it was damaged. There's a reference to a poem by St. Teresa of Avila that begins, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours, no feet but yours. The statue is still there outside the church without hands." And that's what it's known for. And I was thinking as I was driving back from Glasgow last night, I was thinking about character. And then I had this really weird thought. But the alphabet is made up of characters, right? What's the very first letter of the alphabet? A. A is an A regardless of its circumstance. It'll always be an A, right? You could turn it upside down, it's still an A. The Q. The Q is always a Q when you're using it in writing, in our writings, right? They're characters. They're fixed. They're predictable. Like a statue. We would all describe the alphabet characters as fixed or predictable, right? A B is a B. A C is a C. All the way through. You get to the weird letters like Q and X, and they're still Q and X. They're fixed characters. The crazy thing about it is there's a lot of people will fine-tune their aptitude and their skills long before they try to fine-tune their character. Now there's more good news. You ready? Though often people may sometimes be used of God to chip away those pieces of you, to chip away at you. This popped in my head last night. You'll never see a statue erected to them, right? Senior statues are generally erected for people who have earned people's respect over the long haul. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a statue erected by of a quitter, or a complainer, or a backbiter. Anybody ever seen one? Heard of a statue for them? God may use quitters, complainers, and backbiters to help chip away at you, but you're going to wind up becoming the statue that imitates his image, not them. Let me share this true account. Years ago, violent winds drove a devastating fire through Yellowstone National Park. Hot, dry weather mocked the heroic firefighters who battled day and night, trying to save lives, trying to save buildings and the precious Yellowstone landscape in that area. And when the smoke finally cleared, only blackened and starkly bare hills had replaced the beautiful forested wilderness in that particular section of the national park. A few months after the fire, a national park ranger escorted a group of tourists through the park, including some of the regions that had been recently devastated by the wildfires. He shocked the tourist by saying, "Apart from the structures and trees that were destroyed, this fire will prove to be one of the best things that could have ever happened to this region of the park." The tourists were obviously curious about the park ranger's observation. He went on to explain this area of the park had an unusually heavy degree of underbrush, which was choking out all the possible new life and new growth. The fire went all the way through to the ground, destroying the thick underbrush and its terrain. Now from the ashes of the fire will come invaluable nutrients for the soil. New life is already starting to push through the ashes and appear. So the future of this portion of Yellowstone Park is a bright one. As a matter of fact, the health of this entire forest, largely depends on purifying fire every 50 years or so. What outsiders viewed as a massive tragedy a few months back was actually nature's way of preserving and protecting the park's future. Come back in 10 years and you'll be astonished at how healthy, green, and beautiful this area of the park will be. Okay, ladies, listen to me. God's wisdom calls us to be mature enough to look ahead. Next week, you'll cross the stage, you'll get your diploma, end of a chapter of your life, a whole new chapter is in front of you. We challenge you to look ahead. Be mature enough to look ahead, not just in the moments, but in the future. These fires that we're talking about are clearing the internal underbrush of our life, in each of our lives in this building. It is a pivotal spiritual principle that is too often really underemphasized. We don't talk about character enough. And you look across our society and you can see such a major lack of character. Sometimes things need to die before new growth can take place. In John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You can ask any adult in this building, life struggles are going to come. You cannot stop them. They're gonna come. They're going to punch you in the face. They're going to try to tear you down. And my question to you is, are you going to emerge from them as more of a block or more of a statue? More of a block or more of a statue? I can say this, and I'll tell all the rest of you. It has been amazing to be a part of your three lives for the last 5 years. Just a small, insignificant 5 years of your 18 years on this planet. And got to watch you guys compete. Got to watch you guys go through some things. Probably more things that I don't even know about that you've experienced in life. That God is using those things to develop your character. My encouragement to you is that you would continue to allow God to chip those things away. Continue to develop your God-like character. Now's the time you guys get to come up here and stand and face everybody. Come right here. Come right here. The church has bought them a gift. We believe that the Word of God is powerful. We believe the Word of God is life-changing. And so we bought you a nice study Bible. You guys stood in perfect. Just, how do you even know? This is a gift that we pray and hope that doesn't just collect dust. That you will get in the Word of God and you will allow the Word of God. You'll allow the Word of God to transform you. And you'll allow God to begin to continue to chip away all the pieces of you. Jesus. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask Jim and Steve to come forward. They're two of our elders, and we're going to pray a prayer blessing over them. And I wrote the prayer down in my tablet because I'll cry otherwise. This is an emotional piece. If you guys will just stand behind them. Pray. Allie, Tabby, and Brianna, the big question before you today is this. Is not what you want to do, but who you want to be is most important. And that's the question that's before you for the rest of your life. Not about what you want to do. God has gifted you in specific ways. God's going to use you in amazing ways. But who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? I'm going to pray. Are you guys ready? Join me with prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would surround our graduates with your grace. That you would bless them with hope as they step into the future. with eager and open hearts. Guide them to use the knowledge and their skills and their insight that they have gained through their 18 years of life and their education for the good of humanity. Bless their lives from this day on with goodness and with success, to use their gifts wisely in the service of others. Empower them to walk into the future with faith and hope and great love, guided by your Holy Spirit, so that they may use their talents to, in the words of St. Ignatius Loyola, to go forth and set the world on fire. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and keep them. Lord, make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lord, turn his face towards them and give them peace. And we pray this in your precious and holy Son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. In your inside of your Bible is a quote that I wrote that talks about character. And the gist of it is this: watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. Love you guys. So, New Life, I present our graduating class of 2024. Let's celebrate them and give them a round of applause. You ladies can be seated. We're going to close in a song. Actually, don't be seated. You can just stand. Everybody just stand with me. We're going to celebrate right after this song. We've got cupcakes in the back. We want you guys to just take some time to love on these ladies and encourage them and celebrate them.